This is message, M. 123. The Gospel of Peace. A word given by Cecil J. Duseal, July 29, 1973.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for bringing us to the table again. And praise God, where we can feast upon His Word. I truly believe this is the wedding feast. That's so peculiar to say, in view of the fact that so many of our brethren believe that the wedding feast is up in heaven. But the wedding feast is not up in heaven. The Bible shows it clearly that some were cast out of the wedding feast. And so it means that it must be down here. We couldn't go up to heaven and then get cast out again. Amen. 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, 5 were inside, and then they came out. And then we had the man who was invited to the wedding feast. He went in, he didn't have on his garment. He was afterwards cast out because he didn't have on the right garment. Now, if that was in the rapture, if he was taken up into heaven, how could he have been cast out after being in there? Think it over, brethren. We've got to have that wedding feast down here. Somehow, there is a food, a spiritual food, that is being given to the people of God, that is to make them strong enough to overcome the enemy. And blessed be the God, God speak of it as a woman getting married. And in Revelation 12, we see this woman bringing forth a child. The church is going to have a child. And this child is the issue of the soul, not the issue of the natural physical body, like Mary had a natural child. But we are going to have a spiritual issue, the issue of the soul, something that will be so powerful that the world had never yet seen. A people bringing forth from their own souls the glory of God, as it will be in this latter time. It's nothing new. It's something that God has done already. He's going to do again. He did it already in Moses. He did it in Elijah. He did it in Elisha. He did it in many of the prophets. He'll do it in you. For you are the final result of God's work all through the ages. And God said of John the Baptist, he said of all the prophets, John the Baptist is the greatest. But he said, the smallest child in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, you will understand, therefore, something of God's plan for those in the kingdom. Praise his holy name. Now, tonight, the message tonight will be 737E29. And the topic is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Praise be to God. I want us to turn our Bibles around to John. And let's look at chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Praise God. This word here, let not your heart be troubled, speaks peace to the church. He went on to explain that he was going to prepare mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Did somebody have another translation there? Amplified? Please read that verse for me. Verse 3.
And when I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
That where I am, is there another translation? Praise God. I'm just trying to press the point, where I am. Jesus was standing right there before them. He didn't say, where I am going, where I will be, that you will be there. But he was saying that I am stepping out of the place that I am and going up higher, so that where I know am, you will be also. And Jesus was speaking in a very peculiar sense of the body of Christ being part of himself. He saw himself as the head, and he saw that there would be a neck of time between the resurrection of the head and the shoulder, that the head was coming up and the next thing that would come up would be the shoulders. And he looked, and those boys who he had called as apostles, and he said to them, where I am, this position that I am in God, you will be there also. When I go up, you'll also come up. So praise God. We see a gospel delivered to them. A gospel of peace. A gospel of reconciliation. God sent his son Jesus into the world doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself. He was dealing with a world gone from God. A world that was going away from God. And he was reconciling them unto God. Tonight, our business, our duty, is in the end of this time, when this world has gone away from God, and when God has commissioned us to bring back the world to God. My peace I leave with you, he said. Not as the world. Now, so therefore, you see, there are two different peace. Not as the world give peace, I give unto you. He said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. My peace I give unto you. Now, we are going to look into this peace thing. I see them with an emblem, a symbol, looking something more like this. And many of you call it the peace symbol. What it really is, it is the cross that has been taken, turned upside down, the arms broken down, and turned upside down. And it is the peace among devils. That's what it means. All men who are against Christ, this is their symbol. Peace symbol against Christ. It is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. This symbol is a symbol that the anti-Christ people used in ages past, when they wanted to show those who were against God and Christ. They used this symbol. The young people took this symbol, and the devil got them to use it as a peace symbol. That symbol is peace, but not the peace of God. Amen. So there is a peace. We hear people talking about peace today. All the nations want peace. Russia want peace. You know that. And China want peace. But the only peace they want is the peace which make us in pieces. That's the peace they want. A peace which puts them in a position where we are under their feet, where they're ruling us. That's the peace they want. And the Bible said, be at peace with all men where possible. Amen. There are some men with whom it is impossible to be at peace with. For if you are in Christ, you are against them. For they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And they are against the peace of God. So, we are coming to a time when we are set upon a collision course with those who are of the Antichrist and of the world. And if you're going to be remaining a Christian, you cannot be friendly with the world. God said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so, let us go on a little and see some things written here in the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to Zechariah. I always find Zechariah, knowing that it's behind Matthew. Amen. And if you turn to Zechariah 1 and in the 8th verse, he's describing here a vision. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behold, and behind him were three red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord had sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth and is at rest. Now, just to read your Bible without understanding, it's no good. You know what the understanding of this says? It says that these spirits were spirits of destruction, and when they said the earth was at rest, they meant to say that the evil man was having a good time. The sinners were at ease. They were having a good time. Amen. Now turn your Bibles to Zechariah 6. And we begin from the first verse. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. I want you to look with the man, Zechariah. You are in a vision now. And you look in your vision, and you see two mighty, massive, foreboding mountains of brass. And between them there is a road. And along this road come charging four horses. And he's going to describe them in their chariots. In the first chariot were red horses. And in the second chariot, black horses. And in the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. You're going to find in the scriptures that there are differences in color. Not because the scripture is making a mistake, but because the time when this was written, the colors, the words they used for certain colors, changed their meanings down the ages. This is one thing wonderful about your Bible, that the words you are reading in your Bible change their meanings several times. Amen. The people of this age, this young people here, suppose they wrote a Bible. Amen. They would say that somebody split. And when he said somebody split, you were thinking of my. He must have been torn in two. Amen. He just meant that he left. You see. And words have a way of moving out like that. And as the succeeding generations come, words have different meanings. I found that out so pointedly when I came to the United States first, and even now I'm having trouble because some things I say, I have a special meaning to them, and you have an entirely different meaning. Amen. Yeah. A trailer is a caravan. You call it a trailer. But we call it a caravan. I would know the difference if somebody didn't explain what do you mean by a caravan. You'd think of a whole line of vehicles going down the street. Bless his holy name, etc. Schedule is schedule. Somebody would think you're going crazy if you went into a British country and said, schedule, what you're talking about. It says schedule. Anyhow, we have not only differences in the calling of the word, but differences in meaning entirely. Some of the things we say, we could be kind of entirely giving you a different wrong impression when we were intending to say something else. Now, we find that the colors in the Bible change. The words for colors change. So when I take you around to Revelation and you read these same colors, don't say, oh, my Bible is no good. But just know that the colors have changed around, the name, the words for the colors. Right. Now, where did we reach? Four. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of the earth. The black horses, which are therein, go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he unto me and spake unto me, saying, lament, the Spirit of God is crying out. Behold, these that go towards the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The black horses went towards the north country. And the black horses is a sign of darkness. Darkness, not natural darkness now, but spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness where men and women reject, where a whole nation rejects God and His Word. A whole nation rejects God and His Word. And this is what happened in Russia. The black horses went north, and they quieted the Spirit of God in Russia. and China. The horses that went north also went to China, because we find that it is the doctrine of communism that has been transported, exported from Russia to China. And Mao Zedong, the head of the Chinese government, is as red as Kosygin or any of the Russian leaders, because he was taught in Russia and he took it to China. So the Spirit of God is almost quieted in Russia and in China. China has destroyed more Christians than any other government. You never hear about it, but millions and millions and millions have been destroyed in China. And even as we sit apparently at ease, we hardly ever think of the people in China and what they are going through. And when American Christians have a doctrine which say that the church won't go through tribulation, they never think of their brothers in China and what they are suffering. Amen. The miracles, we never hear of them. We just barely sometimes hear of the sufferings because of Brother Andrew and his team, which began to go into Russia with Bibles. We have been hearing little stories from Russia, and they are wonderful, wonderful stories. Stories like this: pastor of a church, every time he sets a meeting, the communists sent a representative, infiltrated the church, and caught them. And the pastors were always being taken into the torture chambers, and their fingers all twisted up. You can see them with the marks as they come back to service. Amen. But he was so beaten one day when he thought of the persecution and the distress, and he dropped on his knees and cried to God. And God came to him and said, "Don't set any more meetings. I will set all the meetings from now on. You set no more meetings." So they abolished the church. No more meetings. And the communists heard that and they were glad. But he had a dream that he was at a certain spot in the woods, and that the other brethren were there and they had their regular meeting. And so next morning he got up, took up, well, they hardly have any Bible. Sometimes they have one Bible for a whole congregation like this. And so he went off to this spot to see what would happen. When he reached the spot, he saw 25 brethren sitting down waiting on him to come for service. God had given 26 people the same vision. And they said from that day onward, no more persecution, the communists cannot find out any more meetings because they do not set any more meetings. This brother from Brother Andrew's team came along in Fort Lauderdale about 2 years ago and told us this story. He said that they were sitting in a basement and having services, and suddenly a hand appeared on the wall. It was a man's hand, but it was a big hand. And the hand began to write. And the hand wrote in Russian, and it said, 10 things ye must now observe. And it began to name the 10 things. We had it published in a little book. I don't know if we could find a copy of that book. But among the 10 things it says, there will be no righteous among the unrighteous, nor unrighteous among the righteous. I have decided to judge my people with my own righteousness, justice.
Winter prevents life.
Hearts are cold. Flee from this condition. I don't remember all the words, but this, just to give you an idea how this word has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled, that this is a government that is anti-Christ and anti-God. Evangelists like Billy Graham are allowed to go to Russia whenever they want to and preach to big congregations of people. And you wonder, how is it they say that there is no freedom of worship in Russia, and yet big congregations of people come in this big Baptist church in Moscow to listen to Billy Graham and so many souls are saved? The whole thing is rigged. They rig it. They get a congregation. Amen. How would you like to go into Hollywood to keep church and get a congregation of actors well put up out to act? And when you say so and so, they say amen. And when you call for the altar, they bow down and pray. That is what we are getting. The congregation in that church is rigged, and they've set the whole thing, and the pastor have to keep in line and say what they want him to say, and everything like that. Bless God for the freedom of the United States and the privilege which we still have tonight. Amen. To worship God. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. And let us look at this picture as it developed over time, and God gave his final word in the revelation to John. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 6. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Praise God. This white horse is Jesus Christ. You say, what? I thought all the Bible scholars said that the white horse meant the Antichrist. No. He said to all those horses, go, walk to and fro through the earth. The white horse here is Jesus Christ coming out, conquering and to conquer. Now, you must never believe anything in your Bible unless you have it proven. Your Bible proves everything it says. Did you know that? So let's look over into chapter 17 and verse 14, and we will see the same white horse. Seventeen fourteen was saying that these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Let's turn then to 19:11. Yes, that was the one I was looking for. Thank you. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in his righteousness he doth judge and make war. You see, the bow is only a symbol of war. Amen. God, the Bible said in one place, God will shut his arrows at them.
God will shoot his arrows at them. And this is a symbol of a Christ coming forth to battle. Amen. So God is saying that all these four horses were let loose in the earth, and they all had their thing doing in the earth, and you and I are the ones who are going to respond either to this one or to that one or to the other one. So let's read the next one. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Verse 3. When he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now praise be to God, amen. We see here that the color red symbolizes war, symbolizes taking peace from the earth. Remember, God said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives peace I give. But this red horse was given power to take away peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and to him was given a great sword, which is the symbol of war. Amen. Now, we find that the arsenals of the United States and the arsenals of Russia could destroy this world about 80 times over. Amen. It could destroy, although the world only would need one destruction, yet they have enough firepower, enough destruction in the arsenals around your cities. Amen. That could destroy the world 80 times over. Now, this is the great sword, brethren. And I'll tell you why. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus spoke a word that did not come to pass until our time. And this word, he said, that God would have to shorten the time of the tribulation. For if he did not shorten the time of the tribulation, if it was going to be a full week of 7 years, then no flesh would be saved. Amen. He said, men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking forward to the things that will come upon the earth. For he said, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And I believe genuinely that in one dimension, in the natural dimension, Jesus was speaking about atomic warfare. Yes. The atom, the very power, the building blocks of nature, was going to be used by man to make destructive weapons. Praise God. So, we see that the power was given to them to take peace from the earth. Amen. And this kind of peace in which we live is the peace of sinful man and not the peace of God. Now, let's go back at it. There is peace with God. We were enemies to God. We were at war with God. There was war between God and us. And Jesus came and made peace by his blood. How did he do it? You see, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus Christ came and his blood brought us life, and so immediately, being alive, we were at peace with God, for we were at war with him before. We were enemies on opposite sides. Amen. But then, after we had peace with God, we needed something else. We needed the peace of God. Amen. I can have peace with you, but I'm not at peace at all. So we had peace with God, but now we want the peace of God in our souls and in our hearts to set us at peace. Therefore, the Holy Ghost came and he gave us the peace of God. Hallelujah. And when you have the peace of God, you have peace even with your enemies. Amen. Somebody's fighting against you, and you're not fighting against him at all. You're not at war with him. You have peace inside. And this is absolutely necessary for us to have. The peace of God after we have had the peace with God. Now, we find therefore, what is our position in a world where war is all around us and we have peace? Amen. You know, I remember the story which says that they had this contest for somebody to draw the greatest picture of peace. And some men draw all kinds of pictures, beautiful waters and still waters and beautiful calm sunset and everything like that. But one man drew a picture of turmoil, great storm blowing, and a little bird sit on a little limb, bobbing in the wind, and her little ones in the nest at ease. That's peace. When war is around you and you can have peace, that is peace. Amen. That is the peace of God. And this is what God is speaking to our hearts. Peace I give unto you. Not world peace. Hallelujah. Now, you see what world peace has done for us. Amen. Pardon me. The Bible said, 1 Timothy, in the latter days, I wouldn't worry to read it, I'll just repeat it. In the latter days, they said, perilous times shall come. And he said, going on, naming the wickedness of man, he said, truce breakers. We saw the United States, the most powerful country on earth, with such power and such might that it could destroy the world 40 times over, having a war with a little country that could be turned over one afternoon before supper. Amen. And signing a peace treaty with that country, and the country thanked out for our peace treaty and just kept on fighting. And up to today, we heard that the biggest battle for the peace was on yesterday. 300 odd people were killed in that battle. And they're just going on fighting. And so the past, 2 months? Peace has been signed and war continues. Ever heard such a thing in your life? That's the peace that they are talking about. Amen. I don't know if you're going to trust them. What I do know is somebody's going to make a mistake. But I say, well, the natural man certainly getting blind. Amen. Because what is happening in our time is something that we've never seen happen before. No country ever signed a peace treaty, and in the peace treaty you bring in the biggest guns. Amen. You start packing in guns and packing in armament for the peace. Amen. And both sides begin to send in armaments quickly to hit the deadline of the peace. And when the peace came, the war just opened. May God help us. And so God said that they did get power. This red horse, you know what he's talking about? A spirit. A spirit of rebellion, a spirit of war that is among people. See to it that you are not part of that spirit. For I have seen that spirit catch a hold of Christians. And I have seen Christians going and agitating and rebelling just like sinners. You ever seen it? Yeah, I've seen people who call themselves Christian, call themselves born again Christian, tongues talking, Holy Ghost filled people, go sit down in the middle of the street, rebelling against government for them to take them up and take them to jail. Yeah, I've seen it done. And we will see all these things, but no, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is speaking peace to your heart. And if you want anything, go in your chamber and lock up and tell your God, and he'll do it. Don't go out in the street and carry a flag and say, we want our rights. Amen. You get your rights another way. You appeal to the bar of heaven, and God send out his soldiers to work for you. Amen. Praise be to God. So therefore, there's a wrong peace that is in the earth today, and we must not go along with that peace. And the symbol I showed you on the board is the symbol of the peace among sinners. Now, when sinners are at ease, Christians are in trouble. Amen. Because they turn up on us as soon as they feel good. Yes, sir. Personal experience. When he had opened the third seal, beasts say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. What are we talking about? Amen. We are talking about darkness. God said, darkness covered the land, and gross darkness the people. But God shall be upon you a light. Now what we are talking about is a time, an age in which darkness covers the land. You know, I was going on there yesterday or this morning and switched on the radio and heard the news coming from Chicago, and the woman was telling the glories of being free. Woman's lib. And you know where the woman's lib took her? She was boasting about her. At last she's able to go into a bar and sit down and have her drinks and get drunk. Amen. Hallelujah. Imagine you put that on the radio. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yesterday I heard a woman lauding the glories of lesbianism. She said, oh, every woman should be a lesbian. It is such a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. And she said, to be free from man is such a glorious thing. To do your own thing. And she wrote a book on it. And they were advertising the book on the radio. And she gave a talk to Pepita. Hallelujah. Something is wrong. Praise God. And then, you know what's amusing? Those people turn around and look at you and said you're crazy. Now, the thing has come to such a point that you don't know who is crazy, because if the crazy people looking on the sane people and say the sane people are crazy, and I tell you something, the crazy people are soon going to take the sane people and put them in the asylums. Yes, that's what has been planned. The Because if you talk in tongues, you are crazy, you see. You are mentally unbalanced. That's what they say. That's what the psychiatrists say. Go to any psychiatrist. You've got a friend, a psychiatrist friend. Have a discussion with him and tell him to explain tongues to you. Amen. And he will tell you that when a man talks in tongues, that he is getting off. And that's the first sign. Yes, it's a religious sign that, you know, religion has got him. And he's gone over the deep end and he's through, you know what I mean. And these are the same people who have our children in school teaching them sex. That's it. Take the little children, the little, you know, somebody told me that from the kindergarten, they are teaching sex. I saw a kindergarten book, I couldn't believe my eyes what they were saying. Yes, they are teaching the kindergarten children sex in some schools. These people are mad. They are in such darkness that they look at you and they say, you are in the darkness. You know the easiest way of seeing somebody look dark? You put on dark glasses. Oh yes. Put on dark glasses and you'll see everybody look dark. And this is what is happening. The world is gone crazy. Darkness covered them so badly that they have no idea of light. I saw some folks in California. They are worshiping the devil. He got one of the devil worshippers, a girl, and she accepted the Lord. Amen. Says she's seeking reality. She was in the devil worshippers' church in New York. So she left and came to San Francisco. And she went to the high priest and began to talk to him. Amen. And certain questions she asked him, he said, tell the truth, I don't know. Because she was asking him about God. He didn't know anything about God. Then we ask her, what's the line? What do they say? What do they use to justify themselves? Because God made human beings. And you've got to justify yourself for everything you do and say, you're right. In spite of what? A human being cannot continue unless he believes he's right in what he's doing. So she said, the argument they say is, come on now, tell me, how do you know that the person you are calling God is not the devil and the person we are calling the devil is not God? See, that's the line. Then they begin to say, well, you see, the devil would say God is the devil. Yeah, the devil would say God is the devil and God would say that the devil is the devil. So, if how do you know which one is God? Bless God. They're lost. They're so blind. They're so crazy. Amen. You see the things people are doing now. It's so crazy. Darkness covered the land. Gross darkness. But here it is. Somebody was being profited from the darkness. Watch it. Read it here. In the midst, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. They were selling the children of God, which is the wheat and the barley. And God Almighty said, you keep on your selling of God's people. But watch out. Don't hurt the blood and the spirit. For that's where you're going to get hurt. You say, brother, you're stretching this thing too far. Let's turn our Bibles, find out if it's true. 17th chapter of Revelation. And we look at, the 18th chapter I want. 18th chapter. Verse 11 is speaking of the destruction of Babylon. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls, linen, purple, silk, scarlet, fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, vessels of precious wood, of brass, iron, marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horse, chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. Amen. Souls of men are part of the business deal. Let me let you into some secret. I studied business administration. Every business must have a stock in trade. Every business must have a stock in trade. If you are trading, you must be trading with something. You must be rendering goods and services to people for what they want. You're either selling your services or selling your goods. Amen. And this is what you make profit off. But there is one business that has no stock in trade. Amen. And that business is keeping church. Keeping church has no stock in trade. You, the people of God, are the stock in trade of the church. And they have to keep you in certain darkness in order that you might remain as members of that particular denomination. If the truth is let loose in some of the denominations, the people would leave. For instance, suppose I were a Baptist minister and I got up and said, well, brethren, I'll tell you the honest truth. The Methodists are just one step better than us. Amen. What would happen to me? People would creep off and go to the Methodist church. Amen. And so the Baptist has to say we are the best church alive. And the Methodists have to say we are better than the best. And the Catholics say there's no church like us. As a matter of fact, there are not even churches out there. We are the only church. And everyone has to put up his stock just like merchants, buying for the souls of men. Buying and selling. Amen. And this is the business which brings the darkness so thick on earth, that men will not tell the truth if they even discover it, because if they tell it, they lose their position. Tonight, I know many ministers who are filled with the Holy Ghost who would dare not go up and up their pulpit and say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why? All their people would get filled with the Holy Ghost. And as they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they would cease to be good Methodists or Baptists or Catholics. They want to be Pentecostal. Amen. And so we find that selling the souls of men is big business. And then some churches have slaves. They take a hold of you, they bind you, they make you their slaves, and you have got to talk their thing. Amen. And so I've been part of this system for a while, and they want me to talk their thing, but every time I get up to talk their thing, I'd talk God's thing, and they would be vexed with me until we couldn't continue any longer, because I was always saying something against their doctrine. Praise God. Amen. You know, I asked one bishop one time, I said, do you believe in the Sabbath? He said, yes, we believe in the Sabbath. I see it on the rule. We believe in the Sabbath. I said, could you explain to me what this belief in the Sabbath is? You don't keep Saturday. What your belief in the Sabbath is? He said, I'm not out for any argument. You know why? You know why he said that? Because he believed in Sunday.
He believed in Sunday. The very name Sunday means day of the sun, Saturn. That's the day they worship the god Saturn. And that's the day of the sun. All right. And they believe in Sunday. But you know how they believe in Sunday? They believe that Sunday is the Sabbath. Now, who told you that? God didn't tell you that in the Bible. But the Catholic Church made a decree that all men must keep Sunday as the Sabbath. And they changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Amen. Well, what did God do about that? God abolished the Sabbath. Did you know that? God abolished the Saturday Sabbath. Why did he do it? Because it did its job. It was completed. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. How is it fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Only when you believe in the Holy Ghost is the Sabbath fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For the Sabbath is your Holy Ghost. You want me to prove it to you quickly before I go on with Revelation 6? Praise God. Turn to Isaiah. Amen. I'll teach you to give me the service early. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 28. God was giving you here in Isaiah 28 the sign of the Holy Ghost. He says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest." I didn't say it. Verse 11 and 12. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll go over then. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." Now, God is saying here that the people who speak in tongues, those are the people who receive the rest, the Sabbath rest. Amen. That's the Sabbath, the Holy Ghost. But if you don't obey him, you're a Sabbath breaker. All right, you get it straight now. So let's go back to Revelation 6. Yes, so we see the wheat was cheap, very inexpensive. You could pick up a child of God at any corner of the street. And 3 measures of barley for 1 penny. Amen. Barley loaves that the little boy had was a type of the ministry. Amen. The type of the ministry was the barley loaves. Remember the little boy that had the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes? Amen. And God took that and fed the whole 5,000 people and left 12 baskets full of crumbs. Well, let me just explain to you in a few words what that means. 5 barley loaves mean the 5-fold ministry: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors and teachers. 5 ministries God has put in the world to bring the church to. Any church that rejects these ministries can't survive spiritually. Now, the 2 fishes are the spirit and the word that goes along with the bread, with the barley loaves. Amen. Spirit and the word. Now, we see here God said that the barley would be sold for a penny. Amen. For a penny. He said, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine, the Holy Spirit and the blood." Now, this is the reason I spoke to you about your Holy Ghost and your Sabbath rest, that you must rest in the Holy Ghost. You know how to rest in the Holy Ghost? When things are going to the dogs, throw it in the lap of the Holy Ghost and say, "You take it, Lord. I can't handle it. Thank you, God. Say, just say, you take it, Lord. I can't handle it. And when things are going good, you say, Lord, you take it. Amen. And it will work. It will work. Just trust God. You can't see him, but he's brought you so far, you might as well trust him for the rest of the way. Amen. Amen. You see, praise God. Now, we go on just a little further. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Now this is trouble. And his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. You hear who was going to kill you? The beasts of the earth. Human flesh, the time has come when human beings are being given over to death and destruction. This is the time when the sons of God must believe in their God to preserve their very lives. Your life, your Christianity will be your life, your survival. Did you get that? Your Christianity, your standing in God will be your survival. Pardon me. One time God spoke to the people and he said, the Lord will be your peace when the Assyrian coming. They were afraid of the Assyrian attack. And God, he said, God will be your peace when the Assyrian coming. Every Christian should take heart when you look and see what happened in the Six-Day War. Because we read about it in the Bible. How God broke forth on the enemies in Mount Perazim. How God destroyed the enemies under Joshua. Amen. How God destroyed the enemies under Moses. How God fought for his people. God said to the people one time, he said, stand still and see the salvation of God, which he shall show you today. He said, for you see these Egyptians. You know what you were talking about. He was talking about an army as powerful in their time as the American army now, or the Russian army now. An army that was well equipped and powerful to destroy them and to make short work of those 3 million people in a few minutes. They would clean them up. Amen. And God said, stand still and see the salvation of God which he shall bring forth today. For he said, these Egyptians which ye see before you, you shall see no more forever. Amen. God fights for his people. Now, in this time, in this hour of trouble, if you can remember the words of God and trust God, trouble will be all around you. 10,000 shall fall at thy side. Let's read it. Turn your Bibles around to Psalm and let all of us read this comforting word of God. Let us read it in concert together. Psalm 91. Let us read it all together very slowly. Come ready. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample on the feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will be set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Amen. That is something. Whenever you feel down or think that God letting you down, just take this and read it. Amen. Take this psalm and read it, and God Almighty will lift you up again. I tell you something about this. I want you to look at verse 13 here. Verse 13. There's a peculiar thing in it. It said, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, hold that in your mind. Turn your Bible around to Genesis. You know I always conduct a Bible drill. Chapter 3. And look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, you notice here that the serpent's head would be under the foot of the seed of God, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, in here, it is transferred to us. In Psalm, in the Psalm 91, it's transferred to us. We are going to tread upon the dragon. Now, how did we get dragon out of a serpent? Now, turn your Bibles with me again to Revelation, amen, chapter 13. Praise God. Can see everybody looking bright and happy. Amen. Encourages me to go on another hour. Praise God. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now look, one devil had one head, then all of a sudden he gets 7 heads over in Revelation here, and 10 horns, and he becomes a dragon. You know a dragon is a legendary animal. There is no dragon on earth. The word dragon is a word to mean something fictitious. And it's exactly what God's trying to tell you, that it's not a natural animal, it's a spiritual animal. Amen. God is drawing you a picture of the world government and the world church coming together under satanic influence and taking on these many heads, giving Satan many heads, and the one head that was wounded unto death. Amen. The deadly wound was healed by the operation of man. Amen. And as we heal up the devil's wound, we put him again in battle with the people of God. But bless his holy name. The scriptures tell us in Psalm 91, verse 13, that we are going to put the dragon under our feet.
You see how the Bible goes? One scripture dovetails into the other. Therefore, I believe that this is the time when the great battle between this dragon and the sons of God will come to pass. And this is why I'm begging you to pray a prayer. When you go home, ask God to endue you with the necessary power to meet the challenge of this time. Amen? Just ask Him, just believe Him, just praise God for it, because you're going to be it. You're going to do it. We had, Mavis was telling us a vision today. She said she had this vision that a man was sent in 1914 from the East. Of course, it must be an angel, with different gifts to give to the people of God. But these gifts were in a big box, and he left the box in the church and never opened it. And he went on distributing his boxes. And it was on his return journey that he should open the boxes. But he should have returned in 1919 to the East. But he did not. And he's still here coming, and we are still expecting him to come and to open these boxes for us. But then the brethren were getting kind of fidgety, and everybody was trying to open this box and couldn't open it. And then the Spirit told her that the key was on top of the box. So she climbed up on this big box, and sure enough, the key was pinned down there. So she took out the key and put it in the lock, and there the box opened. No sooner than this box opened, everybody was about to rush the box. So she closed back the box, for she knew it wasn't yet time. Brethren, the time is near when you'll get your share. Yes. Praise God. Oh, praise God. She saw you in the vision, brother. She saw you in the vision, and you were coming with a whole group of young people, and you were all after the box. Praise God. As I was looking at you, it just occurred to me that she saw you in this vision, and you're coming with all these young people, and you were after the box. You wanted your share out of that box. And she said, boy, I better close it before I get in trouble here. Gosh, wasn't yet time. But blessed be to God, I think that God's going to do something for you, brethren. Look out for a divine intervention in your life. Don't feel that you're going to make it because you're pressing on, or because you're a sweet person in God, or anything like that. Just believe that God's going to intervene in your life and do something to you. Give you the thing that you want. To give you the strength that you want to do the thing that you ought to do. And that's what we know must happen, and it's going to happen. And brethren, I'm telling you, I'm excited, for I believe it's going to happen somewhere around now. Amen. Praise God. I am looking for this thing. And I mean, my head is pinned down in the newspapers and the radio, listening to the news all day, listening every time I get a chance. Because I am seeing that the news is developing, the world is cascading down further, getting rushing harder down to destruction. And God said, this is the symbol. When you see the abomination of desolation put up himself in the church, take charge of the church. And I believe it's the organized church he's going to take charge of. And the backslidden people he's going to take charge of. Not God's people. I believe God's people are going to escape. That's what I believe. I believe every true son of God, no matter where you are, what church you are in, you're going to escape for God. And that God is going to give you the thing that you need to do what you have to do. Amen. Otherwise, we couldn't make it. And we're glad. We're glad for that. For somebody would say, boy, because of the strength of my arm, I did it. You know, I am one of those fellas. And I hear people going around preaching that they are part of the 144,000. May God help them. I was speaking to God about this army. Say, God, I said, I don't see the people. I don't see the people anywhere. God said, you're looking in the wrong direction. Amen. So you're looking up at the big fellas. He said, God have some little people who never bow the knee to Baal. Now, bless his holy name. And so the peace of God be with you. For this is the gospel of peace. And we are the people of peace. Amen. I wanted to show you one more scripture. But I figure it's too late. Do you think so?
No.
Oh, it's not too late then. Let's get back to it. Praise the Lord. I'll just show you one scripture. I just remembered it. In Daniel, I want to show you something here. Daniel chapter 8. Amen. This here proves my point that the stars that are going to fall in the latter time, in the end time, are some of the big Christians that you are trusting. Brethren, don't put your trust in any man. Don't trust any Christian so badly that if he falls, you are going to fall also. There are some surprises that we are going to have in this time, maybe within a year, we're going to have some really shocking surprises about some of the Christians whom we trust and whom we believe in. Some of us even get saved under some of their ministry. Don't let anybody be in such a position in your heart that if he or she should fall, it's going to throw you down. Understand? Let me read this for you. It's chapter 8 and verse 10. And it walks great even to the host of heaven. Speaking of the sons of God, you know. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stomped upon them. You see, this is not natural stars we're talking about. It's people. It's men of God. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. You hear that? Amen. I don't know what the daily sacrifice is, but to my mind, it's something like our worship together. It's something like we are going to one day be prevented coming together as we come together tonight. We wouldn't be having that privilege anymore. That's why I'm thinking that you should get some tape recorders and get some messages and get words as messages as much as you can have, so that when things happen, you will have something, the messages to still listen to what God had been saying to his people. Praise God. You see, now, the daily sacrifice being taken away, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground. You hear that? And it practiced and prospered. Now, I want you to go on to verse 23. And in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, that's what 666 means, transgression coming to its fullness. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. He might well be some kind of Christian or backslidden person who understand Bible. See? And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy,
also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself. He's going to be a very tricky person. He's going to be so crafty that he will cause craft to prosper. If you notice what's happening today, that craftiness seemed to be greater than diplomacy nowadays. In former times, they used to have diplomacy. Now they have craftiness, tricks. Amen. And the person who wins and the person who is on top is going to be the person who is the biggest trickster. This is what the Bible is saying here. Amen. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hands. Children of God shall break him. The Bible said that the last kingdom of man will be put down by the Christians praying, not by their fighting with sword, by spiritual power. And I want you to believe in this spiritual power. I want you to know you have it already. Bless God. The key to using that power is our coming together. For God said, in the time of the building of the Tower of Babel, he said, if these people stay together, nothing on earth will be denied them. They can do anything they want to do. They wish for the rain, and the rain comes. They wish for a drought, and the drought comes. They wish fire will come from heaven, and fire comes. Because if the people of God once get together and realize the power they have, nothing on earth will be denied. Amen. This is the secret. And this is why we should struggle to get men to come together. You see, men have previously seen this. I'll explain this to you. That many of the church people, many of the men who start these churches, they have seen this thing to be true. And they said, okay, I'm going to get these people together. And they got people together on the rules and regulations. While you come together on the rules and regulations, you never serve God right. Because you have to obey the rules. But when people, this is what we are doing. We are bringing people together under the Spirit. Your head is Jesus Christ. And my head is Jesus Christ. And when I speak what Jesus Christ say, you better hear, because you are also hearing the same thing that I'm saying. It's like the light being turned on in you. Amen. When Jesus speaks, it's like the light being turned on in you. It was there all the while, but it wasn't switched on. So you can understand what he's saying. In the latter time, we are going to have this peace thing. And this is the greatest move, the peace move. Every country wants peace, yet they're preparing for war. And that's the peace. He said, he shall practice peace and prosper. Praise God. Did someone have something to say? Praise God. Someone had something to add to that, I believe. Amen. Somebody had something to add to it. Some word was coming to somebody while I was talking. I have something to add to it. Praise God. All right, you can add afterwards. I see a man standing at my side here. I'll quit. God bless you, brethren.
This is the end of message, M. 123. The Gospel of Peace.